Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Why don't we say that together? Let's get back up. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Next verse. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Yeah, okay. Who forgives all your iniquities and who heals all your diseases. One more verse. Who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. I believe the kingdom of God has benefits. And the benefits basically in the Hebrew means recompense, meaning that if you make a certain investment, you will get a certain return. That we can expect that whatever a man sows, he's going to reap. We understand then that the benefits of the kingdom of God, we should not forget. We should also embrace them. But there is one way to receive them, and there's another way to ignore them or neglect them, or for them not to come to us. You know, the last couple of weeks, we have found out that it's important for that divine connection on earth. That's the greatest asset that you and I could ever have in our life, is a divine connection through the Holy Spirit. We found out in John chapter 6 and verse 63, Jesus said, "My words are spirit, and they're what? Life." So He told us then that when we speak the word, we are releasing the spirit into a situation. So His word, when spoken, we are releasing the Spirit. See, I want to release the Holy Spirit into my circumstances, into my situation. That's why I want to memorize Job 27:4. I don't want my lips speaking untruth, and I don't want my tongue uttering deceitful things. And if I can't keep my mouth shut, then I'll just get myself some duct tape. So I just happened to bring some today. And I thought for some of you that think duct tape is boring, I had to go and get some different colors. I about used this one up already. This is the blue one. And we've got orange for those that, you know, would like a little more exciting. Thank you for holding that. We've got my wife's favorite. This is her second roll this year. It's purple. She loves purple. That's one of her favorite colors. For those of you that got a lot of passion, okay, some red and mellow yellow, we got you covered as well. Now, some of you guys are probably thinking, you know what? I don't know, this sounds kind of feminine. Well, we've got some special tape for you as well, all you hunters and fishermen. We've got this camouflage tape. Isn't this cool? So when you walk around, you can still be macho and keep your mouth shut, see? So it doesn't really matter. You have to do what you got to do. You know what I'm saying? But you won't want to utter deceit. You don't want your mouth speaking untruths. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
So whatever it takes, whatever drastic move you've got to make in order to initiate change, just go ahead and do it, because we don't want to finish 2008 the way we finished 2007. Amen? See, the Bible tells us in Luke chapter 1 and verse 20 that when God was birthing something on the earth, He used Zacharias. He was in the temple and God revealed to him what He was about to do. Because of unbelief, God had to cause his mouth to be shut. Why? Because He didn't want him to mess up what He was about to birth. He had John inside of her womb. And He said, "Zacharias, until he's birthed and you acknowledge the fact that his name is John, I'm not going to let you talk." It was God's way of putting duct tape on Zacharias' mouth. And we found out that Elizabeth went into hiding for nearly 5 months because she didn't want to be exposed to those negative people. She didn't want what was birthing in her to hear negative words. You see, if the words are powerful, if there is truly life and death in the power of our tongue, then we do not want people to begin speaking negatively, speaking death to what God is trying to birth in us. Whether it's in our marriage, whether it's in our children, whether it's in our vision, whether it's in our ministry, you know, what God is doing. You know, like for example, Lou today talking about his daughter's, that leukemia is in remission. You see, I'm just declaring that not only is it in remission, but it's on the run. It's on the run. And soon it won't be found. It won't be found. Now, when if I came around somebody and they said, "Well, you know what? That's what doctors told about, you know, my friend's daughter, and she ended up dying," I say, "In Jesus' name, I rebuke you. You know, I don't need to put a cross up to Dracula. I may have to use my cross on you. I don't want to be around that. That's why it's important that we take more seriously what we're hearing on television, what we're hearing in music. He said, well, I just like the beat. I like to get down and boogie a little bit, you know. Listen, don't worry about it. You want to watch what's coming into your mind. Why? Because all through the kings, there was revival and then there was regression again. They got Holy Ghost saved and then they got back into sin again. And most of the time they had to clean up the temple. There were times where the temple was closed up. And you know what happened with the temple? It became a garbage dump. And many times when the revivalists like Hezekiah and Joash and Asa and some of these others had to get the people back serving the Lord, they had to go into the temple and clean out all the garbage that was it left in the temple. You see, before they could even start worshiping God. And the Lord showed me something. He said, that's what negative words, that's what these death words are to us. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And I don't want any garbage laying up inside this temple. This temple is pure. This temple is holy. This temple is set apart for the things of God. And so I am going to purpose not to allow my temple to be a dumping ground for the devil. Amen? So I like you, but if you start talking that way, sayonara. I am not going to spend time allowing you to dump my garbage. I don't know if you've seen it on the news. It's kind of interesting. Naples, Italy has no more room for their garbage. And so they don't know where to do things. They're fighting over where to dump the garbage. I'm telling you, we have plenty of room here in America. And we have plenty of room in the church. Because traditionally we have permitted people to dump all they want into our brains. But this is a new year. Amen? Amen. Say, this is a new year. Say, this is my year. My lips shall not speak on truth. Neither shall my tongue utter deceit. Now, we talked about this the last couple of weeks, and we said there are three things that we have to shun. We have three things we have to avoid in 2008. Number one was wrong paths. Remember that? Number two, we said, was hidden traps. And number three was non-covenant relationships. Those are three things that we have to avoid in 2008 if we're going to see change. But then we found out last week there are three things that we have to embrace. We said, first of all, we have to embrace God words. Then we said we have to begin to embrace God thoughts. And then we said we also have to begin to embrace God actions. So think the way God thinks, talk the way God talks, and act the way God acts, and we will see change in this new year. And there are definite results from both of those choices. You could either choose to embrace God thoughts, God words, and God acts, or you and I can choose to begin to embrace the wrong paths. We can begin to embrace hidden traps and embrace non-covenant relationships. But believe me, there are results, because for every action, there is a reaction. And so today we've got to make a choice. And so the Holy Spirit was ministering to me about this whole election thing. And as I'm going to enter into this new series on Spring Seed, there are a lot of undecided voters in the church. We don't know whether to cast our vote for lordship or not. We're undecided. But you know what I aim to do over the next 2 months? Is I aim to win your vote for Jesus. I aim to see this church become 100% behind my candidate. And my candidate is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And there's nobody like him. Go to John chapter 10 and verse 10 with me for a minute, please. John 10 and verse 10. The thief does not come except to steal, kill, and to destroy. Now, I want you to notice something in that verse, because this is very important. The devil doesn't come just to harass you. Notice he said the thief does not come except. He's not going to mess with you if he can't either steal from you, kill you, or destroy something in your life. Understand something. This is not a game. This is what he's come to do. Jesus said he's not come but to do these things. Now watch this, the rest of the verse. Read it with me. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. In other words, the Greek calls it zoe. If you interpret that, it means to have life the way God has life. The way God has life. So the devil's come to steal, kill, and destroy. God has come, Jesus has come, that he might give us life the way God has life. So I see two categories or two options for the believer today. See, a lot of people will cry out to God. I've done this before. I said, oh God, oh God, oh God. You know, whatever I have to do to get his attention. I said, God, you need to help me, help me, help me, God, oh God, God. And you know what God's response is, man? Oh, Lou, oh, Lou, oh, Lou. I said, no, God, you need to do something. He said, no, you need to do something. What do you mean I need to do something? All I do is pray and you take it away. He said, no, you've got to make a choice. Door number one or door number two? Or as Howie would say, deal or no deal. Some of us have got to make a decision. We've got to make a decision. What category are we going to embrace? Now, the first category is defined by the three things we need to shun. First one is wrong paths. Everybody say wrong paths. Wrong paths. Now, I want you to keep that scripture up on the screen because I want you to see this as we progress in this thought. Because the Bible says that when we choose wrong paths, the end of it is what?
Death
or destruction. Destruction. So when you are on the wrong path, your end, no matter how good it looks right now, no matter how scenic, no matter how much progress you seem to be making, the end of it will be destruction. It will be death. Now, when I began to meditate on that, I said, well, if it's destruction, it's the opposite of construction. In other words, everything I do while I'm on this path is going to end up destroyed. Doesn't matter. No matter how hard I build, no matter how hard I work, no matter how hard I fight, it's going to end up destroyed. That reminds me of Matthew chapter 7. I think it's verse 28. And the Bible talks about those that build upon sand. The Bible talks about rain falling, flood waters rising, wind blowing. And what does he say about the house that's being built upon sand? He said, great shall its fall be. In other words, it doesn't matter how diligent you are, how hard you're working, even what materials you're using, the end of it, when the flood comes, it will be destroyed. Now, go back to the verse with me. Let's read it together. Ready? The thief does not come. How does the devil destroy? The devil brings destruction into my life when I'm on the wrong path. When I choose the wrong path, instead of righteousness, I'm walking on the path of unrighteousness. Instead of right living, I'm choosing the path of wrong living. Instead of forgiving people, I'm walking in the path of unforgiveness. When I walk the wrong path, I can be assured that I'm walking not by myself, but I am walking with a thief. And the devil is looking for an opportunity to do what he only does, and that is to destroy. So know this, child of God, no matter how diligent you are about what you're trying to build, your family, your marriage, your finances, your business, if you're not on God's path, the end of it will be destroyed, because that's where the devil walks. However, if I'm on the right path, everybody say right path. The devil can't walk on righteousness highway. Hallelujah. That means that everything I do and everything I build shall be like a man who builds his house upon the rock. It's a solid foundation. I don't care how much rain, how much flood water, how many winds blow, how much adversity comes in my life. I know this, that God is for me. Greater is he that's in me. I know that God is not a man that he would lie. I know that I'm going to be victorious because I'm on the right path. Secondly, we found out that secondly, hidden traps. Now, David was a man who swelled up in pride. I don't know what it is about preachers and leaders and people who think they're all that, but just turn to somebody and tell them, you're not. Don't let him get offended. You're not all that. I don't care how cute you are this morning. It really doesn't matter. You know, I was reading in the Chronicles and Kings and studying all the various kings and revivals, and they would start out so well. Even Solomon, nobody on earth like him with the great wisdom that he had. But what happened to him? His end? What happened to him in the end? Because he swelled up in pride. He thought he was more than what he was. I met a pastor from South Africa last year, him and his wife, and we hit it off real well in the spirit. And we emailed back and forth a couple of times, and he wrote me and he said, I really feel like the Holy Spirit says that you're to be my pastor. Would you be my pastor, my spiritual overseer? I said, boy, we just met, we're getting married. I said, okay, I'll be your pastor. And he wrote me another email just about a couple of days ago. And he began to invite me. He said, I want you to come to South Africa. We want to set up meetings. And maybe this will be the birthing of Lewis Kayeton Ministries International. And I could be your office here in South Africa. And I know you're busy and you've got a great ministry and you've got a great church. And you probably won't have time. But if you can, I just would love for you to do it. And I wrote him back and I said, stop it. First of all, your ministry and my ministry are the same. I go before the Lord. You go before the Lord. I get a word from God. You get a word from God. I tell people who listen. You tell people who listen. We've got the same ministry, brother. Don't start exalting me. I am not any better than you are. Why is it we evaluate ourselves based on, what does that say? Yeah. Come on, help me with this. Somebody preach to me. Do not measure yourself based on what? Huh? Comparing, you know. Well, whatever. Let's move on. Anyway, just because they think you're good, you're not that good. You know, and we have to recognize pride will cause you to swell. David got prideful. What did he do? As a result, he said, I want to count all the people in my kingdom. I want to know how many I have. And Joab said, you know, David, you ought not to do that. That's not pleasing to God. Well, I don't know. I'm the king. And I want to know how many I have. So they counted them. As a result, God didn't like it. Now listen, I don't want to do anything God doesn't like. How many want to be liked by God? I mean, you may not like me. That's all right. But I want to be liked by God. And as a result, what was the punishment for David's pride? 70,000 people. What happened to them? They died. Oh, no. They were killed. They didn't die. It wasn't natural death. It was as a result of somebody falling into a hidden trap called pride. They were killed. 70,000. Now go back to the scripture with me. Read it. The thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. When we operate on pride, when we fall into hidden traps like pride, the result will be destruction. It will be the loss of life. Jesus said, I've come to give you life. But you see, when you and I walk in pride, we will lose that life. And many others, as a result of our pride, will lose their life. Third, we find out this, that we're not to walk into non-covenant relationships. Now, this isn't something that we can, you know, sometime obey and sometime not obey. You know, today, you know, there's a lot of preaching that says, you know, God understands my humanity. He knows my need. It's all right if he's not saved. It's a nice warm body in bed at night. At least I'm not alone. Okay, wait a minute. Time out. Let me talk to you a minute. Yeah, but she sure looks good. Let me talk to you a minute, okay? Because she won't look good all that long. Okay? There's a lot to that, but let me just leave it right there. I'm just wanting you to know something. That when we compromise this truth of being unequally yoked, the results of that, and we're talking about results, the results of that are devastating. Now, we already found out how the devil destroys. We also found out how the devil kills. But how does he steal? Now, if you put the scripture up in 2 Chronicles for me, I think this will help us to get this clearly understood. 2 Chronicles chapter 19, verses 1 to 3. In 2 Chronicles chapter 19, verses 1 to 3, we're talking about Jehoshaphat. He was the king of Judah, and he returned safely to his house in Jerusalem. Go to the next scripture. Just keep flipping them. As soon as I read them, just go to the next one. And Jehu, the son of Hanani, the seer, went out to meet him and said to King Jehoshaphat, "Should you help the wicked and love those who hate the Lord? Therefore, the wrath of the Lord is upon you." Now, wait a minute. You mean because you love what God hates, God's wrath is released? Boy, that sounds like Old Testament. Now, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Back up, Jesus. Hold here. Wait a minute. I'm under grace. That means I can do whatever I choose to do, and I still got the favor of God in my life. Hold up. You've been listening to somebody way too long on television. Be careful. See, I found out that if I was a jerk and I got saved, I can't stay a jerk. You know, and be in church. Say, "I'd like for you to come and hear our pastor. He's a real jerk." What? That doesn't go together, does it? There's got to be change. Everybody say change.
Change.
So I have to understand that I have to be transformed, right? I've got to go from glory to glory. I need to go to another level. He said, "Nevertheless, good things are found in you that you have removed the wooden images from the land and prepared your heart to seek God." But he said, "You know what? You started loving what I hate." See, when we begin to embrace sin, when we begin to embrace disobedience, those are things that God hates. He doesn't hate the sinner. Oh, he loves the sinner. Come on now. Don't misjudge my words. But he hates the sin. So for us to love what God hates releases consequences. That's what I'm talking about. Now go to the next scripture in Chronicles, and I'll show you this as well. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verses 36 and 37. You see, Jehoshaphat decided that he would hook up with the king of Israel. Now the king of Israel was a wicked king. They had separated from the David's kingdom and Solomon's and all of that, and the two tribes and the ten. But anyway, he allied himself with him to make ships to go to Tarshish, and they made the ships in Ezon and Geber. And what he was saying here is that they were going to come together and they were going to have increase. Go to the next scripture. But here's what God said. You cannot ally yourself with a non-covenant person and expect no consequences. Here's what happened. Basically, the Lord, because you have allied yourself with Ahaziah, the Lord has destroyed your works. Then the ships were wrecked so that they were not able to go to Tarshish. In other words, no matter how hard he worked on it, he created this huge fleet. He thought that he was going to be able to amass wealth. He thought that he was going to be able to go to another level in his finances. But because he hooked up in a non-covenant relationship, God destroyed his works. Now let's go back to John 10 and verse 10. If you can go back to that verse with me. We read that the thief does not come but to do what? Steal, kill, and destroy. Now when does the devil steal from you? When you hook up into non-covenant relationships. You will never hold on to your stuff. You'll never hold on to your increase when you walk in non-covenant relationships. What about kill? How does he kill? He kills when we inflate our life with pride. What about stealing? Destroying? How does he destroy? He destroys when we're on the wrong path. Because the end is what? Destruction. So I want to make sure, I want to be very careful that I don't get those results. But let's talk about the positive results. Let's talk about God words and God thoughts and God action. Because when we embrace that, there is another result. Let me ask this question. How empowered of the Holy Spirit do you want to be in 2008? How empowered do you want to be? Do you even have a goal? Do you even have a vision of the empowerment of the Holy Spirit over your life? See, if you're not reaching the level of power that you would like, maybe you need to change your fuel. I noticed something about racing. Now, I'm not a person that knows a lot about it, but they don't use unleaded gasoline in their race cars, do they? No, I think they use something else. What is it? Does anybody know? Huh? Alcohol? I don't know. It's crazy, blow up, explode flames. I mean, fast, like now. And it's a certain fuel. Why? Because they want greater performance. And so how empowered of the Holy Spirit do you want to be? You may have to change your fuel intake. So now that's why I've got to do something different in 2008 that's been feeding me. If I feed my flesh, it's going to grow. If I starve my flesh, it's going to shrink. Whatever you feed will grow, and whatever you starve will die. So we have to understand then that as I embrace God thoughts, God words, and God acts, there's going to be two results. Psalm 85 and verse 8 says, first of all, the first result will be peace. Nothing missing, nothing broken. Wholeness in your life. Psalm 85 and verse 8. He said, I will listen with expectancy to what God the Lord will say, for he will speak peace to his people, to his saints, those who are in right standing with him. But let them not turn again to self-confident folly. God's going to give you peace. Now, why do you need peace? Peace is wholeness, but why else do you need peace? Because the Bible says that peace does something for you. It guards your thinking. It guards your heart. It guards your spirit from being polluted by untruth, by deceit. So I must then embrace God thoughts, God words, and God acts so I can operate in peace. But the Bible also says in Proverbs 4:18 that the path of the righteous will begin to grow brighter each day. Watch this. The path of the uncompromisingly just and righteous is like the light of dawn that shines more and more, brighter and clearer, until it reaches its full strength and glory in the perfect day to be prepared. Listen, I want you to know something about as I age. Here's my decision. I'm going to grow brighter and brighter. I'm not going to diminish in strength. I'm not going to diminish in mental capacities. Or say, well, he's just old. You know, I get tired of old people telling me they're old. And I get tired of young people telling me I'm getting old. Excuse me, I am more experienced and mature, and I kick your butt. I want you to know I made a decision that the path that I'm walking on grows brighter day by day. That I'm increasing day by day. That I'm not looking to diminish in any way in my senior years, right? So here's the results. Two results from embracing God words, God thoughts, and God acts. Number one, peace. Number two, progress. Everybody say peace and progress.
Peace and progress.
Yeah, peace and progress. Now, I want to finish this morning by giving us four quick benefits of embracing God words, God thoughts, and God acts, okay? Number one is divine protection. Everybody say divine protection.
Divine protection.
Because I don't need to be protected. Divine protection. Look at Exodus chapter 23 and verse 20. Exodus 23 and verse 20. God says this, behold, I send an angel before you to keep you in the way and to bring you into the place which I have prepared. See, when I embrace God words, God thoughts, and God acts, I get a personally assigned angel to bring me into the place that God has prepared for me. And there's nobody, there's no spiritual force that can bring me out of that place. The angel of the Lord will bring me. Listen, I'm not up here by myself this morning. I didn't drive from Lorain to Beechwood today by myself. Even though I had people in the car, there was somebody else in that car. My personal angel was with me to bring me into the place where I need to go. Every time I get on an airplane, get on a bus, every time I walk on a street corner, when I go to bed at night, when I get up, when I go to the bathroom, I don't care where I go. My angel goes before me, the angel of the Lord, to bring me in to the place that he has prepared for me. See, that's why I am confident about God's rod and staff. Now, my mother was 5'2". She was a little Hungarian woman, had white hair, just like, well, mine. I guess that's where I got it. But she was aggressive. She believed in not sparing the rod. She had a yardstick. And this wasn't one of them flimsy little yardsticks that they have now that you buy at the hardware store. This was one of them thick yardsticks. And it was right in the closet where the sweeper was. I knew where it was. She wouldn't ask me to go get it. She'd get it. And then she'd beat me. She'd run me down. I told you. I told you. I told you. Mom, just tell me. Just tell me. I told you. She'd beat me with that yardstick. That rod, that staff brought me no comfort. I remember one day I got big enough. You know, I'm almost 6'5". I was 6'4 and a half, you know. And I got to be pretty big. She started whooping on me with that. I said, this is enough of this. I took the yardstick away from her. I did. I said, you're not whipping me no more. Then she started slapping me. She jumping up, started slapping me. I said, Mom, don't you talk like that to me. But think about it. If you're in the sheepfold, and here comes a wolf trying to come into the sheepfold. Come on now. And Jesus, your shepherd, is standing there. That's why David said, his rod and his staff comfort me. That yardstick is for me. It's for the devil. Hallelujah. And God will whoop him every time he needs to be whooped. So that's why I brought comfort. I'm comforted today to know that my shepherd is watching over me. Number two, say divine backup.
Divine.
Number one, divine protection.
Divine.
Number two, divine backup. How do we get divine protection and divine backup? By entertaining what? God words, God thoughts, God acts. That's category number two. That's the second part of John 10, verse 10. By embracing the words of life. He said, I've come to give you life and that more abundantly. Category number one, we saw what the results were. Destruction. We saw stealing. And we saw killing. The point is, what will you decide to do this year? It's up to you. You say, well, I'm not making a decision. Whatever will be. Quesera, quesera. No. You cannot do that. You have to make a choice. That's why people are crying out to God, oh, God, oh, God, oh, God. And he's saying, oh, Robert, oh, Robert, oh, Robert. Make a choice. Make a choice. You and I have got to make a choice today. So we're talking about divine backup. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 24. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And verse 24, faithful is he who has called you, and he shall bring it to pass. Let me tell you something. God has your backup. I like Isaiah 58 and verse 8. The Bible says that he will be your rear guard. He will be your rear guard. He said, your righteousness shall go before you, and the glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. When I walk by you out in the foyer, when I walk by, it's not just me. The glory is behind me. My angel goes before me. I'm like special. You ever see these people that have motorcades? Every time you walk, you got a spiritual motorcade. Do you understand who you are? God said, the angel of the Lord, go clear the way. Here comes Tossie Wiley. Clear the way. Here he comes, Tossie Wiley. And the glory of the Lord is walking behind him. Go, everybody get back. Tossie Wiley just walked by. I'm the glory, and I'm following him wherever he goes. I mean, it's a big deal. We walk around like, oh, I wish God would do something. Shoot, you know who you are in God? This is so powerful. He told Elijah, get up on Mount Carmel. Confront that Baal. Put that water on that altar. Offer that sacrifice. He said, you do that, I'll send the fire. God will have your backup. Number three. Divine confidence. Psalm 23, verses 1 to 3. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. Oh, it's fun to lie down. He makes me to dwell where? Beside still waters. In other words, there is divine confidence. You've got to be confident to lay down. You've got to be confident to be at ease. See, God's given us a sweatless victory. Everybody say sweatless. You know why it's sweatless? Because we're no longer under the curse.
Lord.
See, he told Adam when he came out of Eden, he said, by the sweat of your brow, you will have to work to live. But how many know that Galatians says Jesus broke the curse?
Amen.
That means the blessing of Abraham has come upon us. I'm a blessed man. I don't have to work. I don't have to fight for the victory. I fight from the victory. You got what I'm saying? If you're trying to fight for the victory, you go wear yourself out. But fight from the victory, what Christ has already done. I'm not going to let the devil see me sweat because I ain't no sweat here.
Amen.
You know what I'm talking about? I'm not sweating it. My God is able. Amen. Because I have divine confidence. I have divine backup. I have divine protection. And number four, I like this one. Divine disablement. Now, what in the world is that? Look at verse 5 of Psalm 23. I love this scripture. This is a good one. You're going to like it. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil and my cup runs over. See, God just doesn't give you the victory. I like what he does. Ronald, would you help me out? Would you be my enemy? Put your Bible stuff down. Come on, be my enemy. Be a thug. Okay. See, Ron's over here trying to whoop on me and take my stuff. Try to get my wallet. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah. Okay, get him. Okay. Jesus! Okay, now that he's arrested, give me your hand. Now, he doesn't take him away. He doesn't put him in the car and go, okay, you're going to jail. Come on. You shouldn't hassle Lou over there. He's my buddy. He's my friend. Put him in jail. Lock him up. No, he doesn't do that. He said, come here. Come here. Now, stand right there and watch what happens. The Lord's prepared a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Hey! How's it going? I bet you wish you could have some. What you can't have? No, you can't. That is awesome what God does. Isn't that good? How do we get those benefits? We have to choose either category one or two. How many want to choose category one? How many want to choose category two? Okay, now. Okay. We had 20 people that said they wanted to choose category two. Now, see, some of you weren't sure because you forgot what category two was. Okay, put John 10:10 back up on the scripture. I mean, on the screen. And I'll quit with this. John 10:10 said the thief does not come to accept to do what? Steal, kill, destroy. That's category one. Category number two is, but what? I have come that they might have life. And that they may have it more abundantly. Let me ask this. How many want category one? How many like category number two? Woo! Look at all them hands now. Now, we know that if you choose category number one, you're going to end up with things broken down, no matter how hard you work at trying to build it. You're going to end up what? Losing stuff that you should have. The blessing of God will elude your grasp. And because of pride, there will be death that'll come into your life. In other words, things will not live. They'll die. Now, I don't know about you, but this makes sense. I mean, here's death and life. Choose this day. Which one you want? What do you want? You know, it's like saying, would you like all my debt or would you like all my money? You know, if I had $1 million here this morning, how many of you would choose my debt? None of you. You say, give me the million. Because you know that that's the positive thing. Why are we there every day choosing category number one? All right? Now, let me finish with this. Did I already say that? Okay, good. It's my first closing. Let me say this. Do you know how many people are undecided in the church today? Now, think with me. As I was watching this debate thing with all these people talking about what they're going to do for this country, and that's admirable of them, but, you know, what they're going to do. I hear a lot, like in New Hampshire, South Carolina, the upcoming primary, Nevada, and Michigan, that there are a lot of undecided voters that haven't made a decision for a candidate yet. I believe in the church, there are a lot of undecided people. You come to church, you read your Bible, you believe in God, but you haven't cast your vote. You haven't committed yet. And not only do we have undecided, Pastor Tulsi, we have what we call independence. You know who those are. I ain't committed to nothing. I just come here because I like the preaching. I come here because they sing real good. I come here because I can sleep in. It's a 12 noon. It's great for me. Independence. You know what I'm out for? I'm telling you, I am going to run the strongest campaign this year.
Yes.
To win over every undecided vote. And to change every independent thinker to be converted to the kingdom of God. Why don't you help me? Why don't you join with me? Why don't you get a banner or a placard? Why don't you get a bumper sticker on your car? Why don't you get out there and put them little silly straw hats on and throw confetti up in the air for Jesus? Not literally, but you know what I'm talking about? Why don't we see change? How does it happen? Job 27 in verse 4. That my lips will not speak any untruth, neither shall my tongue utter deceit. I am making that decision today because I want change in my life. I want change. Just a few minutes ago in the city of Lorain, I asked for people who wanted change in their life, who want to leave darkness and come into life. I asked for people who wanted to be born again. And there were so many hands popping up all over that building, I couldn't even count them. I just said, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. People want change. That's why they're putting their hope in some candidate. That's why they want somebody to give them hope, thinking that maybe they will change. Let me tell you something. The only true change is in Jesus Christ. He can change a life. How many could testify in here? If we had the time right now, I could bring you up here and you'd say, I used to be this, but God changed my life. Can anybody say amen to that? Amen. I mean, just quickly, I just feel the Lord speaking to me. Just quickly, somebody in this section, just stand up and say, God changed my life. I used to, and now I am, or whatever. Just quickly testify. Anybody in this section? Anybody? Well, I'll get to you in a minute. This section. Come on, just stand up. What did he do? Just quickly. Just like 12 seconds.
Amen. It's not about me, it's all
about Jesus. All right. In this section, somebody. Come on, man. What did God do?
God changed me. I was going to church once every other year to once every 7 months to once every 7 months. And I am looking for growth right now. I have not been at a church for the last 15 years of my life.
All right. Amen. God changed your life. Anybody else in this section? What did God do for you, man? Awesome, man. That's awesome. Only Jesus. How about over here? Anybody changed over here that God did something for you? Anybody? Come on. Just testify. Go ahead. We'll get them all.
I used to drink over 5th alcohol a day.
Come on.
And I love God's word. And one day I was drunk and I asked the Lord, I said, I love your word and I can't study your word while I'm drunk. And then one day I was drinking, told Kirby I had no shakes, no shivers, and that had been over 12 years.
Woo! Woo! Go, Jesus! Come on, somebody else. Testify. Wait. You were 14 years old and you quit school.
Yes, sir.
Drugging and drinking.
Yeah.
And now you're a nurse.
Yes.
Isn't that awesome?
Wow.
That is awesome. Anybody else that say, I just wish I would have jumped up when I had a chance and I didn't do it. So I'm going to do it right now. Come on. We'll just take a couple more. Go ahead, sir. What?
A long time in the Marines, and that made me an
very hard to be around. And one day, God just stopped me in my tracks and said, these people here are the reason that you are here. And since that day, I have made every attempt through his strength to change who I am. And most kids, including my own son, think I'm a great guy because I'm easy to be around and they think I'm funny, which before I came to know Jesus, that would never happen.
Changed your life, didn't it? Anybody else? Come on, stand up there. Yay.
I smoked a pack of cigarettes a day 3 years ago.
All right.
And nobody would know it because it took everything. Windows rolled down and spraying for breeze and everything. Nobody knew it really like that. I would smoke that.
Uh-huh.
Then one day I asked God to take the taste out of my mouth so I wouldn't want it anymore. And that was 3 years ago, and I've never touched a cigarette since.
You see, that's how we defeat the special interest groups, the tobacco companies. They're ruling us. We the Church of God. Amen. Anybody else? Quickly. Yeah. Come on, Lisa. Go ahead. That's what it's all about.
The day Jesus saved me, I was going to give everything that I had. I was receiving like a GR check at that time. It's called General Leave for people under age 18. And they gave me $83 in a check every month. I would give God $8 in tithes, $5 in offering, and the other 63 went to Rent a Center. I think I did. I was so happy to give to God. And today I thank the Lord because he enabled me to be a giver. Today I will give you.
Look what the Lord's done. Anybody else over here? Did you pass your deal up? But we get two of them, one there and then one here. Go ahead. Amen.
I always admired somebody else's walk with the Lord. Always. Never thought that I could be there myself. And I went to a church and I learned about faith. And I learned to stand on the word. And I learned that God's promises are so true. Just seek his face. He's not a respecter of persons, but I always thought he was. I always admired this person or that person. I'd say, oh, Lord, please. Please, could I be like them, you know? And it's not about that. It's about who you are in Christ. It's about who he wants you to be. It's about where he's taking you. It's about what your purpose is, what his purpose is in your life. And I'm so, so, so
Amen. 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 Move on, okay? I'm sorry, Donna. I got a feeling we'd be here till like 4, and they want us out by 2:30. But if you're here today and you're not born again, our altar ministers are going to be standing across the front. Matter of fact, you might as well come now, altar ministers. And we want to pray with you for the biggest change in your life, because God loves you. And he's no respecter of persons. So you need that prayer. We're going to begin to worship. A lot of us are just feeling a big thanksgiving to God right now. And we want to bless him for it on our way out. But if I don't get a chance to say it, live right, love everybody, pray hard. Don't pick and choose. This is not a time to pray light. This is a time to love God with all of our heart, soul, and strength, and our might. And let's prove to a generation of 16 to 29-year-olds who 81% of them believe the church is full of hypocrites and it's a joke. Let's prove to them that this is the real deal on the earth and that God can revolutionize a life if we put our confidence and trust in Him. Would you stand with me? If you need that prayer, I want you to get to move from where you are right now. Maybe you need to look at somebody and say, do you need to be born again? You need to be born again? You need to be born again? Come on with me. Come on with me. We'll go down and get prayer right now. Come on, let's sing and worship the Lord.
How glorious Your grace.
Need the words up there.
How powerful Your presence. I long to see Your face.
Thank You, Lord Jesus.
Because none can compare. None can compare. You can serve.